across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Been running about a minute late for everything else today. Why not this? Nice to have you along on this Tuesday morning. Another beautiful day up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app, through social media, or by podcast, nice to have you here on this February 6th, 2024. Got a question for you. What advice would you give somebody new to Wisconsin? That's one of the social media posts that Sherita Booker is going to be telling us about coming up in a few minutes here. And so I want you to think about it as well, and maybe feel free to share some advice with us today. It might be something about the food. It might be a favorite place. It might be a quirk of living in Wisconsin. What advice would you give to, you know, a new neighbor who had moved from another state and was living in Wisconsin for the first time? If you want to share that with us today, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can use your telephone for that, or you can use that more as a little handheld computer. Pull up the Civic Media app. Call us or text us right through the Civic Media app. Listen to any of the many radio stations across the Civic Media radio network. Learn more over at civicmedia.us. Send us a note if you're shy, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you are social media savvy and instead, for whatever reason, decide to watch us rather than just listen to us, and you want to look at our mugs as we're doing the show, head over to the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page. Leave a note in the comment section, and we'll see it and maybe share that with the audience as well. So there you go, a little bit of Wisconsin for beginners today. We will also talk to Christina Laurie about the stories, some of the uplifting stories that she puts in our daily newsletter that you can sign up for over at upnorthnewswi.com. What else do we have here? Oh, Chad Holmes will tell us about what you'll find on his radio show on Bull Falls Radio coming up at 8 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And then our main guest today at 7:30 is Congressman Mark Pocan, who's going to be joining us with an update on what's happening in Washington, D.C., or more specifically, what is not happening in Washington, D.C., as Republicans who have for years demanded and caterwauled about an immigration and border security bill are now opposing a bipartisan immigration and border security bill. So we'll have more to say about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, for those of you getting up and going and wondering what it's like outside up here in Chippewa Falls, it's 23 degrees right now, 22 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 25 this morning, as is Wausau. Green Bay, 29. La Crosse, 28. Wisconsin Rapids, 25. Oshkosh, 28. Madison's at 22 degrees. And it is a balmy 27, where you will find Greg Bach down in Waukesha at the WAUK studios of the Shaw. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, and I have something for you real quick. Here we go.
Would that be for caterwauling?
That was for caterwaul. Back in my day, we used to bawl and wall and howl, screech, scream, and screeching. I'm not reading a thesaurus page on the internet.
No, not at all. Not you. Oh, I know. Sometimes it's just frightening what little words will fall out that I grabbed from my elders over all those many years.
No, don't ever stop. It's beautiful. I love old-timey words. I love the look of confusion on people's faces when you say it, and they're like, yeah, and they're like, wait, what did he just say?
Yep. Mm-hmm. What? Caterwauling? What? Yeah. Kind of a change to something sad here in terms of, you know, people who had a way with words. And a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Toby Keith, passed away overnight. The country music icon passed away at the age of 62 after a lengthy battle, a couple of year battle with stomach cancer. What song did we pick to play, kind of play underneath, if you have something there for you?
Miss Kitty, have you ever thought?
There we go. Should have been a cowboy.
I mean, I think this was his first hit. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the Toby Keith's first record, I love the first record of every country artist because they're like, make them look really spiffy and shiny. They're never going to look like this again.
It's true. It's like a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you get that pickup truck, you drive it off the showroom floor, and it is sparkly.
Yep.
And it's never looking like that again. We just go ahead and put the crack in the windshield now as we drive off the lot, shall we? And that was Toby Keith.
Yeah.
He would give us As Good As I Once Was, which has got to be my favorite. I love this bar, I think, is second. Beer From My Horses, Red Solo Cup, How Do You Like Me Now?
I love that song.
And on it goes. And his story, he would tell you, he was just always hustling. He said he worked so hard once he got his first country hit, because he didn't know if there would be a second. And so he just worked and worked at it. And, you know, that also meant that he rubbed a few people the wrong way. And that, and that's where it's worth mentioning here, that especially in that post, 9/11 era, where, instead of coming together, the country in some ways, there were some fissures there. And Toby Keith was not shy about, the fissures that were there. But he also, of course, I never met him. I don't know what he was really like in person, but he definitely strikes me as like so many other friends. And I mean actual, genuine friends where we don't see eye to eye on everything.
Yeah.
But, we would rally to each other in an instant. And I don't doubt that he was surrounded by friends and family, not all of whom, agreed with him all the time, but loved his spirit, loved his spark, loved how unabashed he was in his love for his country.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, we can all agree, like in that late 2001, 2002, 2003, not everyone, but they found themselves in different places of belief. I mean, we were genuinely rallied around a president we didn't vote for. We were angry, we were confused and sad, and people put it in song. And once you put it in song and put it out to the world, there's no going back. But the one thing I will say that I love the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks, and the fact that those two were feuding. He did say later that he was not happy with the way that he portrayed himself. I don't think he will apologize for his patriotism ever, but
no,
the way that was portrayed, Dixie Chicks versus Keith, Toby Keith, he didn't like what had become of that. And that meant a lot to me because I'm like, you seem like a better dude than that.
Yeah. I mean, and you always wonder how much of it is image and marketing, the entire macho, pro America swagger, because as the Associated Press obituary writer says, he had that tongue in cheek sense of humor. Mm-hmm. He could carry a love song as well as he could carry a drinking song. He, grew up as a roughneck in the Oklahoma oil fields, where as an 18-year-old, he was making $50,000 a year, but then the industry collapsed and he had nothing.
Yeah.
So he definitely understood hard work and the value of money. And, hopefully overall it made him, a better person and certainly a great songwriter. Like I said, he's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You can't take something like that away. So we'll play a couple more Toby Keith songs as we go along throughout the course of the day as well here on Up North News Radio, as we come up on 6:15 on this Tuesday morning. And the other main story, and again, we're going to talk about it more with Congressman Mark Pocan, and that deals with this immigration bill that has been worked out on a bipartisan basis in the U.S. Senate between Republicans and Democrats. The parallels to 2013 are striking and almost depressing, in that once again, there is a bipartisan bill that could pass the Senate, something where you need 60 votes to get anything done. And now it's probably not going to happen. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell started the day yesterday, again, making the case to do something. Take this deal. It's the best deal we're going to get. It's the best deal that's come along in a long time. And by the end of the day, he had basically capitulated to the far right, which is most of his caucus now, and saying that this bill probably will not pass. And for that, I guess I am a little thankful to the Republicans in Washington, D.C. Thank you for taking this issue off the table. immigration is not an issue in this election anymore. The border, the, you know, everything about undocumented immigrants. You can, here's that word again, you can caterwaul all you want. You can call it an invasion. You can call it an emergency. Your words mean nothing now. They ring hollow because in front of you is an actual bipartisan deal. And by the way, President Biden is going to take this and beat Republicans over the head, politicians over the head with this. Though I will admit, and somebody else mentioned this earlier on one of the early morning news shows, how great it would have been to have Bill Clinton and James Carville. If you'd have handed them this issue, where he can take your issue and turn it back on you because you wouldn't take the deal. I mean, again, there's no way Donald Trump and Republicans win in November without a large swath of moderate voters. Moderate voters who do not follow the news on a very regular basis. And they're going to hear that there was a bipartisan deal and that you said no to it. And as the elements of this bill come out, of all of the things that would have been done, and they're not going to get done, as they come up, what in the world makes you think that moderate voters are going to say, oh, yeah, by all means, I could see how you would say no to that. Because even if Trump were to win next year, and even if Republicans were to take a majority in the House and Senate, they're not going to have enough to override a filibuster. And so Democrats are going to be able to block anything next year that is short of them getting everything that they want. And so, again, nothing's going to get done. Why you wouldn't take this deal and then try to build on it in the future is an absolute mystery. But again, thank you. Because from now on, to hear Derek Van Orden talk about the border, to hear Tom Tiffany caterwaul about the border, means nothing. It means you have nothing. You could have done something. And mark February of 2024 on the calendar when they said no. They would much rather play politics with something they said was once an important issue. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Sherita Booker about what advice you would give to somebody new to Wisconsin. Live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network, you're up here, you're up north on this Tuesday morning. Be right back.
Your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
Now let's find out what you're clicking, what you're reading, what you're watching across all of the Up North News social media pages and feeds with the person who puts so much of our content on there, social media manager, Sherita Booker. Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Always nice to see and learn more about what people are looking at, what interests them. And again, some of it is, you know, from our own work, and some of it we find elsewhere and share it and pass along the creativity. And in this case, the first one we're going to talk about is a post about Kohl's Corporation. And, you know, there's people are familiar with Kohl's department store. Some still, maybe not quite as many, familiar with Kohl's, the grocery store, but you know, how many people know the actual history of what is now a Fortune 500 giant? Sherita, talk about that post.
Before Kohl's Corporation became that retail giant, it started out as a grocery store. Back in the 1920s, Polish Jewish immigrant Max Kohl opened a grocery store in the Bayview neighborhood of Milwaukee. And in 1946, he opened his first ever supermarket and department store in Milwaukee. And at 1983, AMP bought those grocery stores but sold the chain by 2003. That post had over 2,000 likes and more than 300 comments. A lot of people were reminiscing in the comments, remembering their local and neighborhood Kohl's food store. Kathy Barrier said, "Love my local Kohl's. It was common to see Herb walking down the aisles." I actually had a Kohl's in my neighborhood when I was a child, so I'll remember that also.
Oh, sure. I mean, and some folks, they talked about whether they went to Kohl's or if they went to Century. This was in the time before, you know, Pick and Save, and then, you know, other grocery chains that have long since come and gone, but Kohl's was most certainly a Wisconsin original from Max Kohl back in the 1920s. So always nice to share that little bit of history. Now somebody from Wisconsin's present includes a Wisconsin native who is up for an Oscar this year. Talk to us more about Mark Ruffalo.
Yep, Mark Ruffalo was born in Kenosha, if you didn't know. He was born and raised here and moved to Virginia Beach in his teens, and he's known for his roles in Now You See Me, Zodiac, and Shutter Island, and the Avengers franchise, of course. He's been nominated this year for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress in Poor Things alongside Emma Stone. So this is his fourth nomination, and he has yet to win, so hopefully this year is his year.
I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Poor Things. I have not seen that yet. I really liked him in the original Now You See Me movie. And obviously, yeah, he does such great work in the Marvel comics as well. And so I'm sure there were some nice comments about Mark throughout that post.
Yeah, Robin Lester said, "We here in Kenosha are pretty dedicated Ruffalo fans. Not much that he does escapes our watching and rewatching." And a number of people also mentioned that William Dafoe is also in that photo that we posted. He's from Appleton, Wisconsin.
That's right. So there you go. We got quite a connection in just one little post that you can find over on our Facebook page. And one more note about Wisconsin, and you know, some folks were born and raised here, some born and move away, like Mark Ruffalo there. Some of us show up a little bit later in life, in my case, at the age of 18. And so I thought this was such an interesting post that you've got here, basically seeking, how did you put it, golden nuggets of advice. Tell us more about that.
So we did a question format of lifelong Wisconsinites give one piece of advice to people who just moved here. And we had a bunch of comments on that post. Brittany Open said, "On Sundays, we eat hot ham and rolls." Jim Wold said, "Wool socks in winter. Life is much better with warm feet outdoors." Linda Krantz said, "Be prepared for us friendly Midwesterners to strike up a conversation with you anywhere." And Nikki Marie said, "Don't admit to relocating from Illinois."
I like that one. Let's see. Casey writes, "Invest in good winter gear. Buy it secondhand to save money, but make sure it's the good stuff." Here, Jen writes, "Walleye and eggs for breakfast. Don't knock it till you try it." I have not tried it, and I'm not sure that I will. Quintessential advice here from Gary: find a good supper club for Friday fish fry. Absolutely. Amen to that. Here's one about, what kind of Kringle, an almond Kringle to have on Christmas morning. I mean, there's just so much good advice here. I would have loved a lot of this moving into the state. We should put this in like a little book or something.
Right. The Guide to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's one from Melinda. Make room in your home for two wardrobes, winter coats, boots, hats, gloves, sweaters, and then, all the summer stuff. And we actually do that. We have everything that's in the closet right now is for winter. A whole bunch of the summer only stuff is down in the basement, hanging up near the furnace or something like that. And, a couple times a year, we just move stuff up and down because, with as many seasons as we have here, it's tough to keep them all in one place if you don't have to.
Absolutely. I do the same for my kids. Like, we got the winter clothes going on right now, and the summer clothes will be brought back out later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of good ones here. We're going to come back to this one from time to time and read some of these. So again, look for the community post that says lifelong Wisconsinites give one piece of advice to people who just moved here. It can be about anything. And that's just a really nice one to put up. Sherita Booker has that and more on all of our social media feeds. Just search for Up North News WI. Sherita, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
I think, Greg, we just kind of keep rolling with this because again, if anybody wants to add their own, 844-967-2789. One piece of advice to people who just moved to Wisconsin from Dean here. He writes, "Don't worry, summer will be great. It falls on a weekend this year." Although I guess actually we could have said the same thing about winter this year, which is very, very, this is odd. This is weird. I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah.
From James, "Use your indoor voice, even if you are outside. Many of us locals enjoy the quiet and not the noise. That goes for fireworks, shooting guns, revving engines, playing your music on the trails. Embrace the quietness." Carrie writes, "Embrace cheese on everything." I can totally see that as well. So, I don't know, you are so much closer to the Illinois border there, so I'm sure you talk to folks and try to, you know, explain Wisconsin to them. And we are, here's one, watch Charlie Behrens and you will learn everything there is about living in Wisconsin.
I love Charlie. Charlie's a friend, but part of me wants to be like, I love Charlie. We don't all talk like that.
No.
I honestly, I didn't know OPE, O-P-E was the thing until I saw him, because I don't say that. I've never said that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't realize I did till I saw, you know, people kind of mocking it or just having some fun with it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I said that too. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
One of my favorites here was the get a place with a south-facing driveway. And again, we didn't do it intentionally, but boy, now that we have one, like, I never want to go back.
I have one too.
I liked how you were holding your fingers up trying to figure out which way your driveway faced just now. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Let's see. What else do we have here? Find a way to get involved in your new community to make a positive contribution. Oh, sure. Yeah, that's nice. Uh-huh. You know? Valerie puts, just smile. We'll do the rest.
Oh. Okay. All right. My advice would be like, oh, they're very, we're all very nice, but we're talking about you the moment you leave the room.
Well, okay. That's probably kidding. The human condition.
I'm kidding.
From the Wee Tie at Fly Shop, live in Vilas or Oneida counties, and you'll be in the best part of the state up north. Day trips are fun and easy. Stay off the main roads for the best experience with wildlife, with views, waterways, and people.
So, That's what I would tell people. Get and see the state.
It's honestly what I always told new reporters. I said, get lost. And I said, I mean that in a loving way.
Yeah.
You're new here. Get out, get lost, find your way back, and get to know the place.
Yep.
More coming up on what you find in our daily newsletter from Christina Laurie in just a bit. Again, when you're here, you're up north. Welcome back, and welcome to The Uplift, where we talk about some of the stories that Christina Laurie puts in our newsletter. Sign up over at the website, upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Very good here. Just, you know, continuing to enjoy my morning coffee. I think we all agree on coffee, and we would all say it the same, and the same would go for, you know, milk or beer or juice. But then there's carbonated beverages, and that gets us into the great debate, pop or soda. And it sounds like Wisconsin's in the demilitarized zone in between those who would say pop or soda, don't you think?
It is. So American Regional English mapped every state's preference, and Wisconsin was the only state that had both soda and pop 50-50 on the map. Which I find so unique, because I grew up just south of us in Illinois, and we are a definitively pop state. Soda, I don't know who she is. We only ordered pop there. What about you? Because you lived here for so long.
Right.
Do you feel mixed? And what do you personally say?
Originally, growing up in Minnesota, again, that is all pop. And then there seems to be this fuzzy area in the state where soda is especially prevalent from the eastern half of the state. As, by the way, another one, bubbler. Bubbler coming from the eastern side of the state. From the western side, you'll hear a drinking fountain. So it seems as if when immigrants arrived in Wisconsin from certain parts of Europe, there seems to be this pocket on the eastern half that came in, you know, through the Milwaukee port, that brought certain things with them. Whereas everybody else who came from the East Coast and around Chicago and up into Minnesota, they brought an entirely different vocabulary in some ways, it feels like. And I use them interchangeably now. How about you? Do you drop a soda in now and then, or you just pop 100% of the time?
No, I'm pop 100% of the time, but it's also surprising how little it comes up in my personal vocabulary. Because I don't like carbonation. So it's not something that's on the tip of my tongue ordering a pop.
Literally.
I will tell you, though, that I do have a lot of family in Atlanta. And there, it is definitively Coke, not pop or soda. And I have used that terminology. It feels like illegal to say anything else there. So when the main takeaways from this map were interesting, because soda, like you said, was dominant around Milwaukee and St. Louis in the Midwest. But other than that, it's very much a Northeastern thing, a Florida thing, and a California thing. So what I'm taking away from that is those are, I mean, some of the most populated states. So it's really just those traveler people. Pop is used by much of the Midwest and parts of the West as well. And then Coke is really dominant across the South.
And Coke, no, I mean, when, just, when describing anything, like you want an orange soda or a root beer or something, they
all Coke.
All called Coke.
Well, because, you know, Coca-Cola's headquarters are in Atlanta. So I think that's why. They don't stand a chance.
No, that's why it works the way that it does there. Oh, another one that occurs to me. How many people around here say coupon versus coupon? See, we can have all kinds of fun with words here.
Well, and then if you want to, there's Aldi. People say Aldi's a lot.
Oh, yes. People, there's somewhere people put
penny. Yeah. They say pennies. Right. Everything's always plural. My parents do this a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where did you go for lunch? We went to Panera's.
Panera's.
Excuse me. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's turn to our next story here. And we love talking about different events around Wisconsin, fests. A lot of them have become known as over the years here. And Wisconsin has some fests that are completely by the book and some that are downright quirky. And those are the ones you're focusing on here.
Well, people really love festivals. We're in this festival season. The fun facts for you, according to Billboard magazine, the average American is willing to travel up to 903 miles to attend one. So wherever you're hearing this, none of these are too far to drive because they're all in Wisconsin. For food, there's Cheese Curd Fest. That's here in Madison. History, there's the Great Folly Fir Trade Rendezvous, an interesting festival. There's Deer Fest if you're into animals. There's Chalk Fest if you're into art. We have an entire list of 20 uniquely Wisconsin festivals up on our website. But I have to ask you, Pat, have you been to any of these strange festivals? Have you been to UFO Days or the Bristol Renaissance Fair?
No, I have not been to anything that you've listed so far that might count as quirky. I just considered myself fortunate to live in the Milwaukee area for a time. I mean, we're going back 30 years now, but back when it's what started as Summerfest, you ended up using those festival grounds for so many other things. There was, Festa Italiana and all of the other, ethno-based fests. And I thought that was just a great use of that space for, such a diverse community. But as far as the quirky ones go, no, I can't say that I've been to enough of them. So I'm glad that you're putting them into list form. And some of us can add that to our, our summer road trip list, maybe.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Summerfest because that's not on the list because on its face, it's not quirky. But the way they split it up during COVID to expand it to three different weekends is pretty unique for a music fest. I mean, the biggest one in Chicago is Lollapalooza, and they just jam that all into one weekend. It's so smart for tourism, and it's so smart for crowd control, helps all the restaurants in Milwaukee there. So that's a fun one, just a bonus one to keep on your radar. I know they're slowly rolling out the announcement of the acts at that one.
Yeah, but that's, always worthwhile. And yes, I think too, while it was sad that it was, COVID inspired, it has turned out to be a really good move. It seems to me for them to do it that way. All right, let's turn to food here. And we mentioned this in passing one day when it was in the newsletter that there is a bakery out there where you're not allowed to talk about calories.
We did. I think it's so important. This might seem very trite for people who've never struggled, with anything food, either overeating, undereating, just been conscientious about their bodies. But it's a big thing for women, especially. And there's a bakery out in Spring Green that does not allow any calorie talk. So they don't want you, looking at their perusing their beautiful pieces of cake that are in their window and going, oh gosh, I wish I could eat that. But do you know how many calories are in that? And then potentially turning off another customer or making them feel self-conscious about themselves.
Calorie shaming.
Yeah, calorie shaming. And I know it seems small and it's like, oh, it's only words, but there's nothing more frustrating than you being excited about something and, you know, someone else yucking your literal yum. So the bakery, if you want to go, it's called Nectar Bakery, and it's just declared itself a food positive space. So the sign that's, you know, right on their counter says, quote, "We serve a lot of treats, but we strongly believe that all food is good food when prepared from scratch. Please refrain from making comments about calorie or fat content, watching your figure, or other diet culture propaganda that can make your neighbors feel bad about their choice to enjoy the energy that their bodies need." And I just think that's a great thing for everyone to keep in mind, whether or not you ever go to this particular bakery, but just to be careful, you know, not just around your kids or other women or young girls, but you never know who's listening. Body dysmorphia affects more people than you know. So it's just important to maybe sometimes saying nothing is the best idea.
And just enjoy, you know, the phrase, enjoy if you're going to go there, go there, you know, don't be grousing. Don't be beating yourself up. If you want the treat, get the treat. Tell me that was your word choice, talking about somebody yucking your yum.
It was. Have you not heard that saying?
No, I have not.
No, it's a trend right now of people doing this. So I think that's what it came up with. But there's so many people that are just, they're out to like rain on people's parades. You know, it'd be like if you just a few weeks ago, you were celebrating the Packers making the playoffs while my Bears did not. That would be like me saying, yeah, the Packers, you know, they're not really that good this year. Why not just acknowledge they are and then move on, or just say nothing?
Don't yuck somebody's yum.
That would have been yucking your yum, Pat, but okay. I did not.
And finally, related somewhat to the bakery is, you know, we're getting awfully close to Fat Tuesday and then the Lenten season. So once again, we've got that very special once a year treat for folks that's going to be made in places all throughout Wisconsin.
Exactly. I just wanted to push everyone to subscribe to our newsletter, because this morning we released the list of 20 of the state's best punchki bakeries. But regardless of where you live, I just want to remind you that Fat Tuesday, aka Punchki Day, which is a big thing here in Wisconsin, thanks to immigrants who came in and brought the traditional Polish sweet-filled fried donuts here. Fat Tuesday is 1 week from today. So a lot of places are taking pre-orders, and those pre-order deadlines are quickly coming up. So if there's a particular flavor you like, what I'm finding is that there's a lot of, you know, differences. I prefer icing on my punchki, but you know, I think the most traditional thing is just granulated sugar. And then a lot of them are also just dusted in powdered sugar. So if you pre-order, you can get the exact punchki that you want, or there are awesome shops that just kind of serve like an eclectic dozen. You can try an assortment of treats. But Pat, I want to ask you, if you have to build the perfect punchki, what is your topping and inside flavor?
Oh, I would go with it being, you know, kind of glazed or frosted or whatever. And then raspberry would be my first choice. Okay. Yep. And I can't say I've had them. I haven't had enough of them or sampled enough places to say that I have a favorite kind or a favorite place, but I'm willing to do the research to come up with that answer.
I know, me too. Maybe we could collaborate on the story. We can work together. Cause I'd say, like you, I'm very much into the icing on top, but I've recently had two that stuck out. One was fresh raspberries inside. So not jam. You can convince yourself it's healthier that way, going off the other story, if you want to add some nutrition into that. A lot of antioxidants in those berries. And then also one that I was turned off from this for a long time, because as a kid, I heard the word cheese and thought of like cheddar or something.
Yeah.
But a cheese punchki is just glorified cream cheese in there with a lot of sugar, and it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Cream cheese would definitely work in that instance. So there you go. Get signed up for the newsletter to learn about all this and more at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter up on top of the homepage there. Christina Lurie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat. Have a great day.
And it's true what she said about the newsletter. It is right there in today's edition of the newsletter, where you can find a link to some 13 different spots to pre-order Punchkeys from, and a little bit of history about it as well. There's also an article in there with a link to about a dozen supper clubs everyone should visit in their lifetime. And then there's an editorial column from me about a new push by legislative Democrats to have a more comprehensive, science-based health and reproductive health development class, you know, sex ed, rather than the abstinence-only curriculum that Scott Walker and Republicans pushed through about a dozen years ago. It was during my time in the legislature just before that that we had a Healthy Youth Act that, again, had a comprehensive, science-based sex ed curriculum. But it has been an abstinence-only one since then, which works about as well as you might suspect that it does. So for that article and much more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the banner at the top of the homepage. And Greg, getting back to the Punchkeys, you're in downtown Waukesha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if there is a bakery nearby where they might maybe make some Punchkeys next week that you could sample.
You know what? That's a great idea. I think I'm going to have to make some calls today.
Uh-huh.
Maybe bring
you live close to the Racine area. There's lots of places there, so you will not lack for bakery goodness. You know,
no. So. And this whole interview, now I'm just hungry. So thank you.
Hey, see, we have done our jobs over here. So again, go over to the newsletter, click on the link, and learn more there. When we come back, we will have today's history lesson and some musical memories. You know, why were we playing the Righteous Brothers a few minutes ago? And again, another tip of our metaphorical cowboy hat to Toby Keith, who passed away last night at the age of 62. All that and more, plus Congressman Mark Bocan coming up in our next hour, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She said, I've seen you in here before. I said, I've been here a time or two.
And again, sadly, if you had missed the news, country music icon Toby Keith passed away overnight at the age of 62 after a couple of year battle with stomach cancer. So we may drop a couple of more Toby Keith tunes in throughout the course of this Tuesday morning. All right, time for today's history lesson and musical memories. Some birthdays today. Ronald Reagan was born this day in 1911. He had passed away in 2004. Robert La Follette Jr. was born this day in 1895, passed away in 1953. And it is, again, sometimes you remember these singers when they're so young, and this guy was so boyish. And it's funny to think that Rick Astley, happy birthday, he is 58 today.
Do you remember hearing this song for the first time and trying to picture?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. Here he comes. You'd maybe heard it, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times before you saw the video or some TV appearance, and you go, "What? That voice came out of that little pack, that little skinny package?" And yeah, here he is, Rick Astley, 58.
I love the way he embraces everything. He's not one of those pop stars who's like, I hate that song, I won't sing it. He's like, no, this is the song that got me here, and I love it, and I love how much you love it.
Yes. I mean, coming back to remember what we said about Toby Keith, you never know if you're going to get a second hit, so just go with it. And Rick Astley got one or two more minor hits, but now it's like, they made up a phrase, getting Rick rolled.
Yeah. I was gonna say we should have said like, oh, it's the birthday of so and so, and then we played this song and be like, gotcha, it's Rick Astley's birthday.
That's right. Tom Brokaw is 84 years old today. I'm sorry, Tom Brokaw is 84 years old today. The American Legion was founded on this day in 1919. Teen idol Fabian Forte. He is 81 years old today, if you still have Fabian's little tune handy.
I do. Look at that hair.
I was looking at that, looking at his bio on a couple of different sites yesterday, and it's almost kind of a sad tale of, I mean, this is where music scouts grabbed him just because he kind of looked like Elvis.
Yeah.
But they knew he wasn't nearly as good a singer, and critics were just merciless on him, but they kept pushing him out there and, you know, making him a minor star for a while, and he went through, you know, bouts of drinking and everything else before he, too, finally was just like, you know what? This is what I am. This is my image. I will just embrace it. So happy birthday to him. I'm glad he eventually found happiness. Yeah.
And for the youngsters listening out there, yes, all music before 1960 was recorded in a tuna can.
It really was.
Jeez.
Let's see. We have a birthday today for somebody who's the subject of a new film.
Oh, can't wait.
Bob Marley was born this day in 1945. I am looking forward to seeing that movie.
Me too. Me too. The actor who's playing him, oh, I love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be good. It was on this day, this is a little bittersweet for the royal family. It was on this day in 1952 that then Princess Elizabeth became Queen Elizabeth upon the death of her father, George VI, while she was touring Kenya. And I just say a little bittersweet because thinking of Prince Charles, I'm sorry, now King Charles. See, we're so used to Prince Charles for all those years.
Respect
King
Charles, the crown. Respect it.
Yes. You know, made public his cancer diagnosis yesterday. And, you know, Sherry was rightly mentioning Prince William. You know, just had, you know, he was close to his grandmother. She passed away.
Yeah.
Now your dad's got cancer. You're estranged from your brother. Your wife, Princess Kate, you know, has been in the hospital with some kind of unknown malady. So not an easy time for the royal family in the United Kingdom these days. Let's see. Natalie Cole was born this day in 1950.
Yeah, you
this
do.
Is just it's another sad one. Just a daughter of Nat King Cole, a voice that was heaven sent, but again, couldn't overcome the demons that come with, you know, that music lifestyle. We mentioned the Righteous Brothers earlier because it was on this day in 1965 that "You've Lost That Love and Feeling" hit number one, written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. Remember, I talked about Cynthia Weil yesterday, who'd recently passed away, and forget giving her own segment at the Grammys. I kind of take back what I said yesterday, because apparently everybody else loved the In Memoriam section of the Grammys the way that you did.
You're still allowed to not like it if you didn't like it.
Oh, no, I want to double down on it. Now can keep that. I want Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann to have their own. I think they deserve their own little one-hour special in primetime, and somebody should remember them and play some of their old songs. Now, granted, some of them, like this one, not this one, but the Righteous Brothers, "You've Lost That Love and Feeling," were produced by Phil Spector. Phil Spector's not really somebody you want to do a special about these days. He's kind of got ick factor.
Maybe on, like, Court TV.
Yeah, that's about it. But anyway, Cynthia Weil, Barry Mann produced the Righteous Brothers. And one more birthday today. Again, it's, you know, time does what it does. You can't stop it. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 62 today.
Mr. Bill Bailey of Indiana, lead singer of Guns N' Roses.
And it was on this day in 1988 that Michael Jordan made his signature slam dunk from the free throw line, inspiring Air Jordan and the Jumpman logo. And no, I haven't seen the movie yet. I definitely need to see the movie about Air Jordan. Yes.
I'll save it. It's a 2-hour movie about executives.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't rush into it. But a couple of people said, you have to see it.
So. It's weird. They have Michael Jordan, but the kid playing Michael Jordan, He barely says a word. You barely see his face. It's odd. But Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are funny, so.
Okay. Let's see. This is National Chopsticks Day, National Frozen Yogurt Day. Don't eat your frozen yogurt with chopsticks, kids. It is Pay a Compliment Day / Reclaim Social Media Day / Time to Talk Day. In other words, all these things are about paying attention to mental health, the importance of reaching out to others, and just being nice to one another. So keep all of that in mind, not just for today, but every day. Gets a big thumbs up from Mr. Bach. And in our next hour, Congressman Mark Pocan will join us to talk about all things happening in D.C., including the latest dysfunction on Republicans rejecting an immigration bill that they'd clamored for. That's all coming up next. You're up north.